But before we do, I want to share a story, another one that was not quite as dramatic, but it was a story of dramatic conversion of a man who was changed by the grace of God, and that's Stuart Hamlin. This is Stuart Hamlin. We're going to tell you, hear his story, how he came to faith at the Billy Graham Crusade in Los Angeles, California. He was known as a cowboy singer. He was known for a pretty wild background. And he was well known. And he came to the Billy Graham Crusade really because his wife kind of begged him to. And he had made a promise to Billy Graham. He had asked Billy Graham to come on his program, basically just to, really not because he wanted to really hear what Billy Graham had to say. He kind of wanted to make fun of him a little bit. But he then promised Billy Graham. Billy Graham asked him if he'd come to the service, and he promised he would. And his wife been praying for him to do it. And he came to the service, and he was there. And eventually, through the hearing of the gospel, he was saved, and his life was transformed. And a dramatic story of salvation. So this is his story as he shares it, and then wrote one of the songs that came out of that.
We were in Los Angeles 14 years ago for a crusade in a tent down on Washington and Hill Street. It was one of the great experiences of our lives. It was the turning point of our ministry. Because in that tent, while small crowds attended then in comparison to these tremendous crowds here at the Coliseum night after night, yet there was a blessing there that had an impact around the world. One of those men that came, I think largely out of curiosity and because his wife had been praying for him, to that tent was Stuart Hamlin. At that time, he was the number one radio personality on the West Coast. And he was known also for his great racehorses. And he came to the tent, and his life was never the same. He quit show business and started writing hymns. And he has written some of the greatest hymns and is probably our greatest contemporary hymn writer. But the people here in Los Angeles, of course, remember him most in the last few weeks as the man who, with his dog, found and killed that panther that was loose in this town. I want Stuart Hamlin to come and say just a word and sing one of his own songs that he's written. Several of the songs we're singing this evening were written by Stuart Hamlin. Stuart?
Thank you, Billy, and what he said was true. I'm sorry he mentioned that Black Panther episode because I'll never live that down. I didn't want to destroy that beautiful animal, but I had to. He charged me, and I'd rather he lose his life than me lose mine. And when Billy said 14 years ago I was in radio, that's true. But I lost that job. I was fired because I wouldn't sell alcoholic beverages. But Christ said no man can serve two masters. And people asked me why I write sacred music. Well, in looking through our hymn books, I noticed a lot of our songs are hundreds of years old. And inasmuch as I love God, I wanted to write songs about it. When I first married Susie Hamlin, I wrote a lot of songs about Susie. And that's why I write the kind of music I do. And I hope that the music that I know God inspires in me, because I don't look like a man that would write that kind, I hope it lifts people's hearts and is living proof that when a man accepts Christ, although he be a cowboy and a hunter, God does not change his face. He changes him inside. I would like to sing for you a song that I wrote years ago when John Wayne asked me if I didn't want to drink. And I said, no, John, it's no secret what God can do. And I'd like to sing the verses and ask you to join me in the chorus, please.
The chimes of time ring out the news. Another day is through. Someone slipped and fell. Was that someone you? You may have longed for at its spring, your courage to renew. Just do not be disheartened, for I have news for you. Sing it with me. It's a great thrill to hear you sing a song that bears my name as author. But it's a greater thrill to know in your own heart what you have just sang is true. God bless you.
Cowboy singer Stuart Hamlin, story of a life changed and saved by grace. He was never the same again once God's grace came and touched his life. Just one of many stories and testimonies we could tell, but perhaps the most dramatic of them all is found in our scripture this morning, Acts chapter 9, beginning to read at verse 1. Where the scripture declares, as Luke is recording this account for us, says, Meanwhile, the church was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus so that he may be found there, any who belong to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly, a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" he asked. "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there, they speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus, and for 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias, and the Lord called to him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarshish named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem, and now he has come here with authority from the chief priest to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, for this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it and placed his hands on Saul. He said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again, and he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Here is a reading of God's word. His blessing abides upon it. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you that you still change lives. That it is no secret what you can do. Because, Lord, you are amazing God. And your amazing grace is still at work in our lives and the lives of so many. And all of us in this room this morning can bear testimony to how your amazing grace has reached down to us. So, Father, I pray that through your word this morning, as we look into Saul's account of story, we pray, Lord, that you'd speak to us, that we would see ourselves in this as well. Because your grace is real for all of us. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you think it's possible for a terrorist to be saved and his life to be changed? A terrorist to be converted into an evangelist? What could make such a dramatic change? That's really what was happening in the life of Paul. He was a terrorist. He was out terrorizing, murdering, persecuting the church, much today like terrorists are seeking to do. On his way to the city of Jerusalem, the city of Damascus from Jerusalem, with orders in his hand that any Christians he could find in Damascus, he would bring them back to Jerusalem to be killed. Saul wasn't happy with just chasing the Jews out, the Christians out of Jerusalem. Remember, it was Saul who led the way for the first martyr, Stephen. Remember, it was Saul who they laid their coats at his garments, at his feet. He was the one that led it. And he wasn't content with just driving the Christians out of the city of Jerusalem. No, he was going wherever they were with authority to hunt them down to bring them killed. And on his way to the city of Damascus, he got confronted with the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. Grace, God's amazing grace, reached down to him and changed his life. Dramatic story. In fact, Saul's conversion goes down probably outside of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and resurrection is probably the most dramatic and important event in all of Christianity. The fact that Paul was converted from a terrorist and a persecutor of the church to a preacher of the gospel. What an amazing transformation. But that became the most significant event in all of church history. We, you and I, are here today because of Paul's conversion. Because of God then calling him to be a missionary, to take the gospel to the West. And because of that, the gospel spread to where we are now through the work of Paul. And God using him to write 13 letters in the New Testament that continue still to minister and to change lives because of what God did in his life. We could say, yes, that's a dramatic conversion. What a wonderful story. And we're amazed as we read it, as Luke records it. It was so consequential in the book of Acts that it's recorded three times, we'll see. Here when it happened, and then two times later, Paul will share his testimony and his account of what the change that God did in his life. But you may say, that's great. And we heard the story of Stuart Hamlin, how his life was dramatically changed. But you would say, but my story isn't so crazy. Isn't so amazing. And we may sit and hear a story about Saul's conversion. We say, well, how does that relate to me? And I remember when I was in youth group, in Youth for Christ, we would always have these Youth for Christ rallies once a month on Saturday night. And they would always bring in these speakers to us, to the youth, and they would bring in these speakers with dramatic stories. They would come in, they would say how God saved them out of a life of drugs and alcohol and drinking and all this. And they were living this horrible life and they were rebellious youth, but then God got a hold of them and changed their life. And they say, don't do that, guys. You know, and I'd sit there and I'd hear those stories and say, my subversion story isn't near that dramatic. Boy, I don't have a story at all to tell. The Lord didn't really change my life. I grew up in the church. My dad was a preacher. I went to church since all I can remember. I don't have a story of dramatic conversion. Boy, I don't have anything to tell. God didn't do an amazing thing in my life. Maybe you feel that way too. Maybe you felt that way for years. But you know what? The same amazing grace that was work in the life that changed Paul's life is the same amazing grace that has changed you and I. And the same story of conversion is the same story that we all can tell. And from Paul's life, we're going to discover three things about how God's amazing grace was done for us. Because in Paul's story, we see ourselves. It may not have been dramatic, but yet what happened to him, if you are saved by grace, what happened to him happened to every one of us. Because God works in the same way. And his amazing grace is in us. And may we be encouraged by his story this morning and by God's amazing grace at work. Because we see first that Paul was confronted by grace and so were we. That God's amazing is grace is amazing because we're confronted by grace. And that confrontation of grace is a good thing. Unless God confronts us with his grace, we're not ever going to come to the point of salvation. Because Paul was brought face to face with the cost of a sin. As he was on his way to the city of Damascus, the Lord appeared to him. He saw this bright light at noontime, and the Lord appeared to him and spoke to him, called his name, Saul. Saul got his attention, said, why are you persecuting me? And Saul was brought face to face through God's grace of the cost of his sin. And the cost of his sin was he was actually what? He was persecuting Jesus. Jesus said, what we do to the least of these, we do to him. And Paul was brought to the face with his sin. And you and I, we can't be saved until God's grace confronts us and brings us to the face with the cost of our sin. They realize that all of our sin, we were all born sinners, and the wages of that sin is what? Death. And so when we realize that, of what the cost of our sin is, it brings us to the grace of God that confronts us so that we can come and have that moment of salvation. It may not be dramatic, but yet that confrontation in love shows us that through our sin, we deserve death, but God has come to give us grace and life. And he was brought face to face with the love of a Savior. Because as the Lord confronted him there, later on, when he tells the story, when Paul tells the story, The Lord says to him, Saul, don't you realize you're only kicking against the pricks? You're only hurting yourself. You're going against me. You think you're doing God's work, but you're going against me. You're only hurting yourself. And God's love, the love of the Savior, confronted Paul, and he met the Lord face to face. It is the Lord's love when we see him on the cross with his arms outstended for you and I on the cross, when he gave his life for us, and the love that he demonstrated so freely. Because the Bible says, while we were yet sinners, he loved us and died. He didn't wait for us to come to himself, but when we were yet sinners, he died for us. And his love confronts us through his grace. And through that, we have come to be saved by faith. Aren't you thankful that God someday in your life confronted you with that moment of grace and you realized, come to the realize that we needed him? That we can't save ourselves. It doesn't matter if we grow up in the church. It doesn't matter. And most of us did. Our story may not be that dramatic. But still, God reached down and confronted us with his grace and brought us to himself. And he showed us how much he loved him. He loved us. So grace confronts us. But second, amazing grace changes us. And we are changed by grace. And Saul's life was definitely changed. His name was changed, and we'll see, from Saul to Paul. But his life was changed dramatically. You and I, we may not see as much of a change when we are growing up in the church and when we make a commitment to Christ young, but there's still a change and a transformation going in our life. The scripture says, Paul wrote on later, that anyone who is in Christ becomes a new creation, a new creature. And there is a change that takes place. We sang about it earlier. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Paul had a dramatic change from a terrorist to a preacher. But yet those same changes that took place in Paul's life take place in us through the grace of God, because he received a new life. Notice it says here that he was baptized. Immediately when he come to realize, after being confronted with Christ and realizing who he was, scales fell from his eyes and he was baptized. That baptism was on the new life. Paul went on to say in Romans chapter 6, as he was writing later on to the church, said this, beginning in verse 3. He said, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, that in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, we, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. And so Paul received a new life, and so do we. That the life we live for now for the Lord is different. We live to please and honor him. We receive a new nature, a new life, an eternal life, just as Paul did. We also have a new outlook. That Paul's outlook in life changed, because as he was on his way to Damascus, his outlook was he thought he was doing God's work by killing the Christians. He thought, I'm doing God's work by killing those who call themselves believers in Jesus. And once he met Christ, his outlook changed. And he realized that Jesus was Lord. When we come to Christ, our outlook changes. And Paul, we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for the Lord. We live to please him. We don't live for our own will. We live for God's will. And he gives us a whole new outlook. Things different, looks different to us in our life. It's the same dramatic experience that Saul had. The same change that God's amazing grace brings. We no longer see things from an earthly point of view. We see things from a heavenly point of view. And we see things in the eyes of God. Paul also received a new name. But there's in some scriptures you can write down. In Philippians chapter 3, Paul talked about how his outlook now is what was he considered in the past he considers rubbish. He said his goal now is to live for Christ and to live and to bring glory to him. You also receive a new master, and Paul received a new master. We see that in verse 5. Whenever the Lord spoke to him and he fell to the ground and said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? And Saul said, who are you, Lord. And Saul realized that Jesus, he was confronted face to face with the risen Christ who appeared to him, who he thought was a fraud. And he was brought face to face with Jesus, the risen Lord, and he says, "You are Lord. And you are now my Lord and Master." And he received a new master. He no longer served himself. And the same, when we come to Christ, when God's amazing grace changes us, we have a new master. We're no longer in charge. God is in charge. And also, Paul said that before we were saved, sin was our master. But now, Christ is our master. And we live under his control. Paul also received a new mission. And his mission before his conversion, before being changed by grace, his mission was to go to find every Christian he could find, wherever they were, to bring them and to arrest them. And Paul's mission was to arrest the Christians. But then after he was changed, Jesus arrested him. And arrested him and changed his life. And his mission changed that now, instead of seeking to destroy and stamp out the name of Jesus, he was going to carry that name of Jesus around the world. He was going to take the name of Jesus and lift it high and proclaim it, that others would come to know him too. That one that he was seeking to destroy, he is now exalting and lifting up. His mission in life changed. And Jesus as well, by being changed by grace, gives us that new mission of living for him. And look at the power of this. He received a new family. Because as Paul, then God speaks to Ananias. We'll come back to him in a moment. But God speaks to Ananias, a believer who was living in the city of Damascus, and said, "Go to the house on Straight Street, because there's a man named Saul there who is praying." Ananias had heard about him. He knew why he was there. He said, "Go and lay your hands on him because he's praying." And Ananias said, "Well, Lord, don't you know who that guy is?" He said, "That's Saul." And he said, "He's come here. I've heard about this guy. And he's rounding up all the Christians in Jerusalem and having them killed. And he's come here with orders to do the same thing. And you want me to what? You want me to go to his house where he's at? You want me to surrender myself to him?" He said, "Well, you go and you pray for him. Lay your hands on him so he receive the Holy Spirit, because he's praying." And in those 3 days, for 3 days, the Lord was working in his heart, was he was struck blind and he realized his need of the Lord. When Ananias went in and he laid his hands on him, what was the first thing he said? "Brother Saul." And he let Saul know that he is now part of a new family. And when the Lord saves us, he gives us a new family, the family of God that we are a part of, brothers and sisters in Christ. A part of the family of God that people that Saul was seeking to destroy, he was now a part of. And God had changed his identity, and God had given him not only new nature, but a new family too. And isn't it great to be part of the family of God? And that family with God as our Father, Christ as our brother, and all the eternity of what the inheritance that is waiting for us as God's people. And he was given a new name. Here it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 and through 19 and 22, that Paul says, "Consequently, we were outside the family. We were separated from God. But now through Christ, we have been brought near into the family, built on the same foundation as the apostles themselves. And we've been given a new name." Dhamma played earlier. There's a new name written down in glory in its mind. But Saul's name was going to be changed because he received that new conversion. That he was no longer going to be known as Saul. He was now going to be known as, and we think of Saul, we think of what? Paul. And that's the name we think of. The great apostle Paul, he received that new name simply because he belonged to Christ now. And he had a new character. He named the name Jesus. So like Paul, our conversion of the amazing grace, we've been confronted by his grace, showing us our need of him. And we've been changed by grace, maybe not as dramatic, but in the same ways. And third, God's amazing grace is amazing because we've been called by grace. In verses 10 through 16, God speaks to Ananias. As Saul was praying, as he was blind, struck blind for 3 days, thinking of what had happened to him as the Lord had confronted him on the road, and he's trying to sort through all of this, God says to Ananias, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street, ask for a man named Saul from Tarshish. He's from Tarshish, named Saul, because he is praying. And in a vision, he's seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. And Ananias said, but Lord, I've heard many things about this man and the harm he has done, and he has come here with the authority from the chief priest to do the same, to arrest all who call on your name. But the Lord said to him, go, because this man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. So Ananias, verse 7, went to the house and entered it and placed his hands on him and said, brother Saul, the Lord appeared to you, sent me to pray for you to receive the Spirit. We're called by grace to help others see the light. What would have happened if the Lord spoke to Ananias and said, go to Judas's house and look for a man named Saul because he's praying. Pray for him that he may receive the Holy Spirit because he's seeking me, and that his sight would be restored. And Ananias raised his objection and said, but I've heard about this man, and if I go, who knows what? He's come with authority to arrest us. But the Lord says, go. What would have happened if Ananias wouldn't have went and obeyed God's voice and went to Saul? What would have happened? It's all part of the story. It's all part of what God does in his way of conversion, that he uses us to help others come to the light. He used Ananias, and the only time that Ananias is mentioned in all of Scripture, this Ananias, is in this account right here. When God spoke to a faithful Christian and said, go and pray for Saul. And that was his part. That's all he had to do, was go and pray for Saul. But in that, God used him, because when he did, the Holy Spirit came upon him, the scales, the blindness was taken from his eyes, and he had his sight, and he was saved. Because Ananias was obedient to the Lord. A small thing, but yet God used it amazing. God calls you and I by grace to help others see the light. And who is it that God wants you to be an Ananias to? Who is it that he wants you to pray for, that they would come to see the light too? Who is it that he is asking you to go to and help them to know Jesus? Because after this, Ananias isn't mentioned anymore. We know what happened to Paul and why the Lord used him mightily to bring people to faith. So you and I are called by grace to help others see the light. Who has been placed the role of Ananias in your life? Who was it that was Ananias to you? Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was your parent. Maybe it was a pastor over the year. But who was it that played a role in helping you see the light? To Nick, it was your guy at the base. It was Ananias to you and help you see the light. Without him, where would you be today? And that's the same with all of us. Who is that Ananias to you that was that simple role of helping you see the light? Without them, we'd maybe still be in darkness. To whom does the Lord want you to be Ananias to today? Who, like Ananias, has obeyed the Lord? And has there been times when, like Ananias, have you obeyed the Lord even when you had doubts? Because Ananias sure had his doubts. He had his objections. He sure could have said, Lord, this doesn't make sense to me. You want me to do what? But yet, even with his doubts, he obeyed the Lord. And he did his little part in helping Saul come to see the light of Christ. And so you and I are called by grace as well to do that. And second, we're called by grace to bring glory to the name of the Lord. The Lord said to Ananias, after he said, well, don't you know who this guy is? The Lord said, yeah, I know who this guy is in verse 15. I know who he is. He said, this man is my chosen instrument. That's who he is. He's my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for me. And he was. And Paul was going to suffer greatly for the Lord. He shared for that in 2 Corinthians, all that he went through in his suffering. But yet, through all of that, he said, my grace is sufficient for me. And he learned that. God's called you and I to bring glory to his name, the name of the Lord. And we do that by carrying his name, by in times of suffering, bearing his name, and bringing glory to him. So the grace of God truly is amazing. And you and I, all of us, have been saved by that grace. And we have a dramatic story to tell. God at work, who confronted us by his grace, changed us by his grace, and called us. Another life of a man who was changed by the dramatic grace of God, who went on to write that hymn, Amazing Grace, was John Newton. John Newton was in England. He grew up in England. His dad was in the Navy, and his mother was a devout believer in the Lord. From young, John Newton's mother had taught him what it meant to love the Lord, but John Newton kind of rebelled against that, and he turned his back on anything with the Lord at all, especially after his mother died. John Newton's father could not contain him, he was rebellious, he could not keep him. So he said, I'm going to send him to the Navy. He said, I'll bet if I send him to the Navy will teach him discipline. So he sends him to the Navy, and he rebels against the Navy and leaves. And he was eventually taken as a slave and became a captain of a slaving vessel. Made his money on the slave trade, and as he was going across the Atlantic Ocean one night with a cargo of slaves to bring to the New World, his boat got in a dramatic storm. He thought he was going to die. He thought he was going to perish. And in that storm, he remembered about the grace of God and what his mother had taught him as a young boy. And he put his faith and trust in Christ. And his life was changed by God's amazing grace. And he went on to write about it in the hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And just like the Apostle Paul, that was how he looked at himself. Paul saw himself as the worst of sinners because he persecuted the church. He saw him as a wretch because he made his living on the slave trade. Another dramatic story of God's grace. But yet, the same. He knew the same thing. His once was blind, but now I see. The story of God's amazing grace that is transforming and has transformed us. And aren't you thankful that God is still in the business of transforming and changing lives today through his amazing grace? So be thankful. Look back in your life and that time when God's grace confronted you, when God's grace is still changing you, and God's grace has called you to do your part to take the light to someone else so that they too can come to know God's amazing grace in a personal way. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your amazing grace that none of us deserve, but that you reach down to us through Jesus. And we thank you for the person who was Ananias to us, who helped us to see the light of Christ and salvation. Maybe it was our parents. Maybe it was a pastor. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was a total stranger out of the blue. But someone who you used in obedience to share and help us understand your grace that confronted us in our time of sin. And we thank you that you loved us enough that you didn't leave us in our sin, but you confronted us with the cost of our sin and the great love that you have for us so that our life could be changed forever through you. And so, Father, we thank you for our testimonies of grace, for how you reached down and saved us, and for that amazing grace that is at work within us daily. And Lord, help us as well to be carrying that grace to others that so desperately need to know of you. And we thank you for every life that has been transformed through the amazing grace of you, our Savior and Lord. And we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.